This is from the book of Acts, from the 16th chapter. This is Luke speaking. At some point in Acts, it becomes almost the first person or second person narrative. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very hour. But her owners saw that their hope for making money was gone. And they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, the jailer put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. In our hearing, our speaking, our living, we read the book of Acts after Easter to give you the sense of what the early church was like. In fact, it wasn't even called a church then, and it wasn't until halfway through the book of Acts that it says very specifically that the term Christian was used for the first time to describe the believers. The early Christians were called the Way. There were a group of folks in various cities and in Jerusalem who came together to hear preaching and to proclaim themselves what Jesus had done for them. So in Acts, we read the book and we kind of read the book in reverse, really, because right after Easter, we have Easter and we get Jesus out of the tomb, and then we have Doubting Thomas, where Thomas doesn't believe, and, you know, hands and side and all that, and Jesus says goodbye, and Jesus leaves and tells the disciples, "Now look, get out of here, and I'm watching every move you make." And so they have to get out, because that's what Jesus told them, and they wait for Pentecost. But instead of getting Pentecost right away in the book of Acts, we kind of read about Paul, and we read about the early church, and we read some of Peter, and we read about Paul's travels, and we get this narrative here, and we keep going backwards and backwards and backwards until we get ready for the great day, for Pentecost, 50 years after Easter, when the Holy Spirit came upon the people and enabled them to speak in foreign languages, in tongues. They saw the Holy Spirit as being tongues of fire. So we spend these 50 days getting ready for the go of Pentecost. And then we go on summer vacation. And that's how Christianity goes for Lent and Easter and for part of Pentecost until it's September. Paul and Silas were bound in jail because Paul was annoyed. Said that he healed the girl, but really the passage said that he cast the demon out. Paul didn't really care about the girl. He wanted her to shut up. She didn't ask to be healed. Her owners didn't ask for her to be healed. And Paul got in trouble for it. He took a beating for it because he was annoyed. I wish Paul had freed the girl after he healed the girl. That would have been a great story. But healing... freeing somebody from slavery was a matter of finances. And Paul didn't deal with those finances. There are a lot of things I wish Paul had dealt with and wish he had done differently. But this isn't the gospel according to this Paul. Paul and Silas bound in jail, singing and praying and an earthquake, and it freed them. And they didn't run away. They didn't run away, and it was good for the jailer and for his family, and really the story gets turned into what how wonderful it was for the jailer that the jailer and his family believed in Jesus and baptized and all that. The chains of Paul and Silas were loosed, but they didn't try to escape. And I think it's because they had another set of chains that had bound them. They were bound to God and to Jesus. Like the girl in the story, not all the chains that were binding folks were broken. We live with our own chains. Chains that keep us in our own jails. We have our bad behavior. We have bad thoughts. Bad thinking. We have our addictions. We have mental illness. We have overconfidence. We have fear. Fears of failure, fears to speak out. We get all wrapped up in whatever it is that we can get ourselves wrapped up in, and we get bound up so tightly we can barely see. It's because we're human. Paul called this mess that we get ourselves in sin. And he said that God can free us from that sin, release us from that sense of sinfulness through our faith in Jesus Christ. I would explain our human condition a little differently. As Christians, God can free us from some of our chains, but not from all of them. We remain human. God doesn't take all the crap away from our lives. Instead, we get the saving knowledge that regardless of what happens, God will be with us, helping us get through whatever it is we are facing. Like Paul and Silas, we'll still be in prison. We will still be human, subject to our own foibles. But we'll have an ability to deal with it together in the church. I read a good devotional a couple days ago from my friend Mike Piazza, who was quoting another friend, Molly Basquette, who she sent him an advanced copy of a book that's about to come out. And I want to quote what he wrote and what she wrote from this book called Bless This Mess. Bad things will happen to you and to people you love. No one is going to get out of here alive. We know this, and some of us live in a state of low-level panic much of the time, wondering when the other shoe will drop. We are chronic worriers. There is a difference between worry and prayer. Worry is thinking about things, keeping those thoughts to ourselves, turning our anxieties over and over in our heads until they grow outsized and monstrous. Prayer is turning our anxieties over to someone who has a broader perspective, who has information not available to us and who can relieve our anxiety, even if the situation on the ground is essentially unchanged. Worry says, I am master of my own universe, but I recognize that my power or know-how or skills are too limited to ensure the outcome I hope for. Worry is a petty tyrant of a failed state, an idol replacing God. Prayer says, I am not in charge. I, in fact, surrender to the outcome. Things may take a painful turn, but I am not alone in this. God will send allies and angels who will strengthen me for anything life will send my way. And in spite of my worst imaginings, things may turn out all right, or better than all right. It has been said that courage is fear that has said its prayers. Praying doesn't mean we stop being afraid or stop worrying altogether, but it does mean we recognize that we have a strength beyond ourselves, and that in spite of our fear, we can move ahead into the unknown. As Christians, we get the saving knowledge that what happens to ourselves, to our children, to our parents, that regardless of what happens, God will be with us, helping us get through what we are facing. Like Paul and Silas, we'll still be in prison. Prison to our humanity. But we will have the ability to deal with it. God will sustain us through our journey. You will sustain me, and you will sustain one another. God will use the church, the people sitting next to you, the people who you perhaps don't even know who are praying for you. God will use all of us to get through. And when that's not enough, God offers us this holy meal. Amen.